I've been having a good few months. The last few months has been life-changing for me. Just to see God move in a way that I have not experienced before. Been in the ministry now for 10 years. I'd say in the first 9 years, I saw two or three healings, undeniable healings. The past year, 2 years ago, I don't know if any healings have physical healings happening. Last year, we had about four healings happening. And then the past 2 months, about 85 people have been physically healed. And we follow up with them and we check, how's it going? Is it still? And for many of them, it's still a month later, they still healed. All glory to God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Jesus is faithful. And so this morning we're going to pray for people who are sick. Any form of problem in their bodies, we want to pray for you. But before we do that, I want to talk to you or speak to you about Christ the healer. I was praying in this week saying, God, what should I focus on for this Sunday? What do you want to address? And I heard the voice of God whispering to my heart saying, faith. Go for faith. And in a sense, the journey that I've been on now, and many of us have been on, there's this battle, this wrestling for one's faith. Wrestling for one's faith. It's like standing with a flower and you breaking off the petals. Does he love me? Does he not? Does he love me? Does he not? Does he heal? Does he not? Does he heal? Does he not? Is he going to heal? Is he not going to heal? Is he going to heal? So there's this wrestling in one's head and one's heart around the whole thing about healing. And it's amazing when you start stepping over the threshold into the place of you're not wondering anymore. You just know. You just know. You just know that he's going to do amazing things. A few weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, we had a healing service at the Bikers Church next door. The Bikers Church is next door. Great bunch of people. And we had healing service there. And I remember, because we went to India. Before we went to India, we started to see healings. We went to India, we saw lots of healings. We came back and it continued. And so we had the service next door. And it was amazing for me to see my faith move over the threshold. It's no longer easy, will he not. It's just, he will. It was amazing to see that. So we had people stand in the service that for specific conditions, and we had them test. After we prayed a prayer of healing, we asked them to test, okay, test the back, test the knee, test those things. And I told them then wave back if it's 80% or more better. And at least 8 to 10 people waved back, saying, at just through us praying from a distance, they were healed, 80% or more. And it was amazing to see how one's faith can move over that threshold that you're not wondering, is it going to happen? It will. Jesus is the healer. And I want to speak to you about that so all of our faith can be built up. This past Sunday evening, I spoke to my mom. It was Mother's Day. And my mom has had three hip replacements. The third one recently. And her knee is packing up. And now muscles are packing up. And she's a wonderful woman. I love her. I respect her. But she's an intellectual. So now I've been telling her stories of everybody getting healed. And I'm on the phone with her. And then I hear she's absolutely desperate. Absolutely desperate. She says she is depressed because everything's packing up. She can't walk anymore. And this possibly operation a month or two from now. And she's really, really depressed. I am saying, okay, well, let me pray for you. I haven't done this over the phone. This is my first time over the phone. So let me pray for you. I don't know, family is much harder than anybody else. It's your mom. She changed my diapers. You know, it's like, it's just this block, you know. So now she's sitting on the other side and I'm praying for her. I'm going full on. I'm saying all the things I would normally say and pray. And so then I said, okay, test it. So I think she got up and she tested. No, nothing. So, right, let's pray again. And then I started to pray. And this time, she said, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's getting warm. Something's getting warm in my leg. And I said, test it again. And she got up and she tested again. She said, it feels better. And then I prayed a third time. And then somebody else phoned and she had to go. So it was a very quick bye. So I wasn't sure what was going on. But I said, okay, bye. On Tuesday, she SMS'd me. She said, my leg is better, but I think it's the physio from yesterday. I mean, she was depressed. She was saying, I'm not going to walk again. She's on a crutch. She's like, and then yesterday she SMS'd me. She said she's much better. She's now without the crutch. And then she said, but she thinks it's the pill the doctor gave her. So I just replied on SMS, wonderful. I'm so happy. Thank goodness for a good pill. And I wanted to say, but I know a better pull, the gospel. But I held myself in, I held back. I was meek, praise God. But I will tell you sometime. So praise God. So it even works over the phone. It's not in the Bible because they didn't have phones in those days, but they had handkerchiefs and sending it to people and people would just be healed. God is good. I'm amazed at being in the ministry for so many years, praying for so many people, seeing so little happen, and now suddenly you're just on every second person. It seems God is touching them powerfully. All glory to Him. All glory to Him. The key is faith. There's something that needs to happen on the inside of us. Something needs to happen on the inside of us. In Mark chapter 9, verse 19. Jesus highlights this problem. There was a dad, a desperate dad, with a boy, and it says he had epileptic fits, and in his case it was a demonic spirit. Not all epileptic fits is necessarily a demonic spirit, but in his case it was. And so the dad was desperate, and he brought his boy to the disciples, and they couldn't. Nothing happened. They prayed, and nothing happened. And then Jesus was on the mountain. He came down from the mountain. Then the dad came with a boy and he said, I brought my boy to your disciples, but they couldn't. They prayed, but it didn't work. Now listen to Jesus' response. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And then Jesus healed him. This highlights to me the true disease of our age. And it's not cancer, and it's not AIDS. It's the disease of doubt. It's the disease of unbelief. Jesus says there, O faithless generation, in another account, he actually adds, perverse. Perverse generation. Which means misled or twisted. Now, if you think about it, Jesus wasn't upset with them that they didn't have faith and they didn't pray for him. They actually believed, so they prayed, but nothing happened. And Jesus was upset that nothing happened. He said, that's faithlessness. And Jesus was always a bit further than anybody else. We're thinking, okay, I believe that Jesus heals. Good, I have faith. Jesus saying, that's not faith. Show me. Show me. Pray for somebody. Let them be healed, and that's proof that there's faith. Jesus was upset that somebody wasn't healed. And so he wants the disease of doubt out. He wants the disease of unbelief out of our midst. Faith, according to Jesus, is to heal the sick, not just believe that God heals. I've been believing in God healing the sick for 15 years. I'm only seeing it now happening. What's changed? What has changed? But the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, the Word of God says, these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let's say that, will recover. These signs will follow those who believe. Beautiful story. Todd White, he's one on the DVDs called Father of Lights. And his story was, he became a Christian. He read Mark chapter 16, which said, these signs will follow those who believe. And so he said, okay, fine. God, I'm going to take your word for what it is. And he started to pray for the sick everywhere, like 10 people a day. He prayed for 1,000 people. Nobody got healed. Because every time he would pray for somebody and they didn't get healed, he said, okay, I'm not believing yet. Let's pray again. And he kept on praying, and he kept on praying, and he kept on praying. And then the 1,000th person, suddenly he walked into a room and he just knew God's going to heal this person. This is the problem. And he prayed for them. They were instantly healed. And from there on, people have been getting healed all over the show. But he pressed in until faith came. So Jesus is saying faithlessness is like being twisted or being misled. It's going astray. When you don't have faith as a believer, as a Christian, you know, you are a believer. You're supposed to believe. So when you don't believe anymore, what is that? Jesus said in a certain sense, the Bible says, anything that's not by faith is a sin. Anything that is not by faith is a sin. And it's not to be condemned or feel bad. It's just, okay, I'm not believing yet. Let's try this again. Not believing yet. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's try again and again and again. But for some of us, we justify our sin through words like, well, I'm just an intellectual. So you're saying only stupid people believe. Think about it. No. Well, only I'm an intellectual. So you're actually justifying your unbelief when you say, well, not me. These signs will follow those who believe. Those who believe. Those who believe. Rosie, come and share with us your testimony. There's a few ladies I'm going to ask to share.
Hi, everybody. I've been married for 18 and a half years, and of those 13, my husband and I have been trying to have children. And I've had 8 miscarriages, but that's another story. But because of that, my body shut down, and it stopped producing serotonin. And because of that, I got clinically depressed. And I've been on medication for 5.5 years. And every time I've tried to stop the medication or I've tried to wean myself off, because as a Christian, you're not supposed to be on medication. You're supposed to trust God. I have a complete meltdown. And I land in St. Mark's, and it's not a good place to be. So I came to a point where I accepted that, okay, maybe this medication is a way that God heals. So I accepted that, and I just thought to myself, well, it's like being a diabetic. You need your insulin in order to work, so I need my medication in order for the serotonin to be produced so my brain can work. And I left it at that, and I was fine, and I carried on with my life. And this year, in March, we had a F4 workshop here in the front, and carried on normally, and Andre said, okay, let's break into groups of 3, and we broke into groups of 3, and we were praying for one another, just for general things. It was Rion, Ellen, and myself, and as they were praying, I never mentioned anything, I never asked for anything. All of a sudden, I had the sharp pain that hit me, that I thought an iron rod had hit my head. It was so painful. I thought my head was going to fall off my shoulders. I actually dropped my head down between my legs and held onto my head, thinking it was going to roll off. Alan and Rian asked me what's going on, so I said, I don't know, but whatever it is, just carry on. God seems to be doing something, so just carry on, carry on. And they carried on praying, and the pain got worse and worse. And Alan said, no, we must. I said, no, but just carry on praying. There's something happening. And they carried on praying, and slowly it started to subside, but it never went totally away. And we carried on with the seminar. And then later that evening, the pain was gone. I didn't think anything of it, and we started preparing because we went with Andre to India, and we carried on doing our training and going to our trainings, workshops, etc., etc. Went to India, I've come back, and I've realized that it's been nearly 2 months, and I forgot about my medication. I didn't even take it with me to India. I forgot to take it in the morning. I forgot to take it in the evening. It's now been 3 months, and I'm completely healed. The doctors say that it's not possible because of the medication and the type of medication I was on. I should not have gone cold turkey. It could have major detriment to my brain. But praise God, he healed me, and I'm 3 months down the track, and I haven't taken a tablet since the F4 workshop that we had here in front.
Praise God. Why is she sharing? Because a testimony is there to increase your faith, but it's also an invitation. Maybe you're battling with depression. I really feel depression is on my heart. If you're battling with depression, it's an invitation for the same. When somebody shares a testimony, you must say, that's for me. God, if you can do it for Rosie, you can do it for me. You need to appropriate it. You need to say, God, that's mine. If you do it for her, you will do it for me as well. So the next verse is there. Mark 9, verse 22. Just continuing on. First, Jesus was saying, you faithless, unbelieving people, let me pray for you. You prayed for the boy. And he says, and the dad is speaking before Jesus heals him. He says, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So the dad, desperate dad, is speaking to Jesus and saying, if you can do anything, please help us. And it's one thing I'm seeing in the ministry of healing, you get so exposed to people's suffering, desperation, their pain. And this dad was desperate for his boy. And then Jesus said to him these amazing words, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So Jesus basically saying, okay, so you're saying if, the dad was saying, if you can help us, Jesus said, no, 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 no. It's not about if I can help you. That's a done deal. I can do anything. The question is, can you believe? Can you believe? So maybe you're here this morning and you don't have faith at all. Well, then just lean on our faith, okay? We've got faith, okay? But the probability of getting healed increases the more faith is in the house. And so we need to get doubt out of the house, and we need to get faith into our hearts, because faith is the connection. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And I'm sure if anyone here has battled with sickness, this is a continuous battle, because you feel the pain every day and you pray and then you see it again. It's God, help my unbelief. But I believe that's where we need to start. You need to say it. I battle with my faith, Lord. It's wrong. Forgive me. Give me faith. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift. So you must confess it. You must say, okay, Lord, I confess it. I am battling with this. And as I felt when we were at the Bikers Church that evening with the healing service, your faith can move over that threshold where you just know it's a gift. It's something that comes from above. It settles upon you, and you just know God's going to act right now. All things are possible to him who believes. All things. Limitless. No more boundaries. Limitless. Why? Because boundaries are removed when you connect with the limitless one. Faith connects you with the limitless one. Belief connects you with a God who is able to do anything. And one of the keys is we need to only see what God says. Seeing only what God says will increase our faith. Seeing only what God says will increase our faith. You will begin to doubt your doubts. You will begin to doubt your doubts. You come to a point that you say, I can't believe that I ever doubted. Because God, you're faithful. God, you are good. You will start doubting your doubts when you fill your mind, fill your heart. That's all I'm doing is I'm just filling my mind with scripture, filling my word, my mind with the words of God. And I'm rejecting every other thing. That's why I'm like battling to fill my mind. I don't want to fill it with other rubbish. God, just fill me with you. That faith may flow forth. When we are healed of the disease of doubt, then we will see many physical diseases healed as well. When we are healed of doubt, then we will see many physical diseases healed as well. Amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do it like the black people. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes. Get some chies. Come on. Mark chapter 11. Verses 22 to 24, Jesus spoke and he said, have faith in God. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain or to this cancer or to this tumor or to this skin disease or to this whatever be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. There's this amazing place where you and I can step into and we can speak the words of God by faith, and it is. It is. Even without touching somebody, because the Bible says when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. But you can even just speak the words and they will be healed. Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 37. Another desperate dad coming with his daughter came to Jesus. He's the leader of the synagogue. His name is Jairus, and his daughter is dying. And then while he was, it says verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Your daughter is dead. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He removed all the doubters. He took a few men of faith with him. But the moment the word came, Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't receive that word. I've got a better word for you, Jairus. Only believe. There's a better word. Only believe. Only believe. Do not be afraid. And I think this is one of the greatest challenges when it comes to sickness, what I experience interviewing people and speaking to them. It's the fear that comes with it. The issue isn't the cancer. The issue is this massive fear that comes with the cancer. And you need to deal with the fear so that you can position yourself in a place where you can be healed. When somebody, and there's this fear factor, when somebody you trust or respect has spoken your death sentence. Your daughter is dead, Jairus. She's dead. Who will you believe? Will you believe the word of man? Will you believe the death sentence, even from the doctor just doing his job? He's looking at the facts. It doesn't look good. This is what it is. Are you going to live by that, or are you going to live by the truth, which is higher than the fact? The truth is Jesus Christ. And he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. When people tell you you'll never be healed, it's incurable, you suffer for the rest of your life, you'll never play sport again, you'll never jog again. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the healer, Christ the healer. And he says, only believe. You see, to believe is to look to Christ Jesus and to fill your mind and your heart with that which is true. To doubt is to look the other way and to look at the facts and look at, yes, that is so. But you can't do both. You can't do both. You can't look at the facts and embrace your doubts and have faith in Christ at the same time. You need to decide, Jesus, you are my healer. Jesus, you are the healer. Do you know that it is God's will to heal? Always. You say, oh, can I say that? How can I say that always? Because many of us, when we pray for the sick, then we go to, oh God, if it's your will, my goodness, that will kill your faith. Those are the biggest faith-killing words on earth when it comes to healing. God, if it's your will, why? You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he took all our sins with him. All the Christians in the house should know this. When Jesus went to the cross, he took all our sins with him. And when he died on that cross, all our sins died with him. The moment we put our trust in him, our sins are washed away because of the cross. Would you agree? That's good old solid theology. Okay. So if somebody comes to you, somebody with great sin in their life, and they come to you and say they want to commit their life to Christ, and they say, oh, I've all these sins. And then you pray for them and you say, God, if it's your will to take these sins away, please take it away. Oh God, but if it's your will, well, maybe you want them to suffer with their sin for the rest of their lives and go to hell. But Lord, if it's your will, no, you come to say, Jesus has paid the price for your sin. He's taken it all upon himself. Why do you want to carry your own sin if Jesus has dealt with it? Why do you want to hold on to it? That's foolishness. When Jesus took our sin, he took our diseases as well. I know this is a big jump, but that's what the scripture says. He was beaten and bruised for us, for our infirmities, for our diseases, for our, all our, of our sicknesses. So when through faith we access the forgiveness of sin, so in the same way through faith we access healing for our bodies. Everyone that came to Christ were healed. And there are lots of scriptures in the book of Acts. It says, and everyone that came to the disciples were healed. Even the last chapter of the book of Acts, the apostle Paul was on the island there. And it says, everyone that came to him, they were healed. Everyone. 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 Is it God's will to heal? Absolutely. Absolutely. It is his will. Why? Why, if Jesus has taken all of our diseases and infirmities upon himself, why would you want to hold on to it through unbelief? Why would you want to hold on to your disease through doubt? Why? Everyone. Everyone healed. Everyone healed. I'm standing on a word that I feel God has given us, that there will come a time that we will pray for people and everyone will be healed. Why not today? Why not today? I've been receiving words from God. I'm thinking, one day, 20 years from now, I've seen it. That's amazing. Seen it already happening. Being fulfilled. You know who gets the biggest fright when people get healed? You do. Ah, really? Are you better? I can't believe it. You pray for the next one. When we were in India, it was amazing. At some point, we were starting to pray for people. The first two, nothing happened. And then from the third one, a mute boy, 8 years old, never spoken in his life, prayed for him. His complexion changed. He spoke. He spoke. Hallelujah. That's biblical stuff. The mute will speak. And then from that, everyone was touched by the power of God. Everyone. Everyone. We went out into the streets to keep on praying for people. You lay a hand on the sick. The 30-second prayer. Let's test. Turn to the translator. They say, the fire. And there was the fire. And they are better. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. And it's like it's shifting my theology. Where it's no longer Russian roulette. Oh, like who's going to get lucky today? And standard Christianity is, well, no one. no one's going to get lucky today. It's not supposed to be Russian roulette. It's supposed to be everyone is healed. Everyone is healed. That's God's heart. That is his will. That is his will. That is his will. Amen. It is his will. Let's get the disease of doubt out of our lives. Let's get the disease out and then really get the disease out of our bodies. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 speaks of how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. He healed all. You have to get this. There needs to be the shift in your mind, in your heart, where you say it's the will of God to heal all. And it says in this case, we were pressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. One of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. That is who he is. He is the one who heals. He is the one who saves and forgives. And he is the one who heals. That is what he does. He took all our diseases, all of our sins. We access both by faith. No one ever looks in vain to the great physician. No one ever looks in vain to the great physician. No one ever looks in vain to the great physician. Trust him. Trust him. Beautiful book. If you want to build up your faith, you're trusting God for healing, you can really read the book Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. And he wrote this book and he distributed it to people. He said many people would just read the chapters and be healed after reading it, because a good theology and a little bit of faith will get you healed. And he tells the one story about a young girl. She was 8 years old, and then she lost all function in her right eye. She could put a finger in her eye. She had no feeling in it. She couldn't see it. The eye was basically dead. When she was 13, 14 years old, he preached the message that the same way that Jesus took all your sins on the cross, same way he took all your diseases onto the cross. And then she said, okay, God, I'm going to believe you. So she went forward on the altar call for people to pray for. But as she was walking, she said, Jesus, 2-3 years ago, I gave my life to you. You washed away my sins. Thank you. Now, Lord, remove this from me and heal me. And she went to the front. Nobody even prayed for her. And suddenly she screamed. She ran back to her dad and she was completely healed. Her eye was restored through simple faith that Jesus has taken everything. You see, when somebody that is in sin, a sinner, all of us came from there, okay? When we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, a miracle happens. You can't see it, but on the inside, a miracle happens. We become a new creation, but we see the fruit, the change in somebody's life. But it's a miracle of the soul, a miracle of the spirit. Healing is just a miracle of the body. Same game. No difference to God. No difference to God. So why heal? Why does Jesus heal? He heals today because the world needs to know that he still forgives sin. Beautiful story in the book of Mark. A few desperate friends brought a lame man to Jesus. They dropped him through the roof. Jesus looked at them and said, and seeing their faith, he spoke to the man and said, your sins are forgiven. And everyone's like, oh, who can forgive sin? And then he said, that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins in the earth. Rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. It was a sign. The healing was a sign to everybody that Jesus has the power to forgive sin. So why does God heal? Because he loves us, yes, because he's taken it all upon the cross, but also it's a sign to the world that Jesus is risen from the grave and he still forgives sin. That is our God. Acts 5:15 says, so that they brought the sick. This is now with the apostles, the disciples, is after Jesus, after Pentecost. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. they were all healed. That is the will of God, all healed. I have a word from the Lord that we will see tumors disappear under our eyes. I'm standing on that. Tumors will disappear. It's happening different places across the world, but I believe God will do that in our midst as well. Last scripture. I want to end off with this. Acts chapter 4. Verse 29 to 31. Before I read this, Yani, kom deel gou jou getuienis. Yani works with us. She is awesome.
No, Andre. Jesus is awesome. I just want to share of how God, like my testimony of how God healed me. A lot of you have heard the story before, but in my life it was a process. I had a knee injury in the beginning of the year, and my husband's a doctor, and we've got lots of doctor friends, so I got everybody's opinion. And it's clinically, all the signs were there for a meniscus injury, which is broken down cartilage. So my knee was really swollen. I couldn't bend it. I had a lock knee. In other words, I couldn't move my leg around. Made an appointment to go see an orthopedic surgeon. Everybody prayed for me. I can even remember in our cell, one of my friends, Tia, said, "You're going to cancel your appointment next week. You will be healed." And I was like, wow, okay, that would be awesome. And so we had a fast weekend for 3 days, and I wasn't healed. I got home Sunday night, and I was really upset with God, because why am I not healed? Like, I fasted for 3 days. Come on. And I was in really a lot of pain. And I woke up the next morning, and the swelling was gone, completely gone. I could get up, I could walk, I could bend my knee. It was like literally overnight. And I kept asking my husband, like, is this possible? Like, just tell me, because I'm quite an intellectual, so I want to know, like, is this possible? Just tell me, is there anywhere in any, like, textbook that it says, like, it can heal overnight? And he's like, no, there is no way. Cartilage can't heal. You go for an op, they take all of the cartilage out, and that's when the swelling goes down and when you can walk again. Like, there's no way for it to heal again. So I was like, okay, so this is real. This is so real. So that was about 80% better. I still couldn't do exercise, which I really love exercise. Like, I couldn't do any exercise because it was still a bit sore, but I could walk, and the swelling was completely gone. And then about a month later, we had a healing seminar here at church, and we watched DVDs, and also just by watching the DVD, the guy said, test whatever, like, he prayed, and he said, test your whatever is sore. And so I knew the only way that I would know if I was healed was if I ran up and down the stairs. And I remembered, whoo, there are stairs. So I started running up and down the stairs, and the pain was gone, completely gone. I was so excited. I went the next day, I went spinning, and it was gone. It was healed completely. Like, that last 20%, it was just healed. But I just want to encourage you, God is not a God of half jobs. Like, if he started to heal you, he will complete the healing. He won't leave you 80%. Just believe, he is not a God of half jobs. He will complete the job, because he did it in my life, even though it was a process. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. I wanted her to share that story because it was a process. It was two instances where the Lord healed her. So you must contend for that healing. Okay, last verse. Acts chapter 4, 29 to 31. Now these are the disciples coming to praying to God. They just had an amazing healing of a lame man for 30 plus years. He was lame. And now all the people are on their case, and it's challenging, and they're getting persecuted. And now the guys pray and they speak to God. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So amazing. They pray, say, "God, give us boldness." They pray, "God, stretch forth your hand and heal." signs and wonders. How does God answer them? He shakes the place to tell them that I'm with you. And then he fills them with his Holy Spirit. He fills all of them with his Holy Spirit. And then after you read, there were multiplied signs and wonders happening after that. The key is they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is that critical? The Holy Spirit comes as Christ's executive to execute for us all the blessings of redemption. In other words, everything that happened on the cross is meaningless to us without the Holy Spirit, without the presence of God that makes it real and alive. You have sin in your life, you feel dirty, you feel empty, you confess your sin to God, you put your faith in Him, and you've experienced the presence of God coming and washing you and cleansing you. You've just received forgiveness from the cross, a washing by the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes as Christ's executive to execute for us all the blessings of redemption. So we pursue the presence of God because out of the presence of God flows the healing and the deliverance and the blessing. What blessings? All our sins washed away. All our diseases removed. All our sins washed away. All our diseases removed. That is the blessing of the cross. And so then there's this partnership. We speak God's word. He stretches forth his hand and he heals. He stretches forth his hand and he heals. So I want to encourage us. It's already been done. It's already been provided for on the cross. All you and I need to do is to believe, to trust. Thank you, Jesus. All my sin, all my diseases on the cross. Finished. It is finished. It is done. So I want us to pray for us for the infilling of the Spirit. Just that God's presence would come and fill us. And then afterwards we're going to pray for the sick. Okay, will you please stand with me? Hallelujah. Pentecost is where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon people. And so we're going to pray for the infilling of the Spirit, outpouring of the Spirit, and then we're going to pray for the sick. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so just stretch out your hands like this. It's a position of surrender. I'm getting hot. Can somebody put the aircon on for me, please? Thank you, Jesus, for aircon. Come on. Hallelujah. God, we lift you up in this place. Lord, we want to pray the same prayer that the disciples prayed. We pray now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray for an infilling of the Spirit, God, that we can pray for anybody, any place, and they will be healed because of your presence upon our lives. Just pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Thank you that you have washed away all my sin on the cross. I believe. And I ask, Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit. That you would fill me with your power, with your love, with your heart. That when I pray for people, they will be healed. Fill my whole being with your presence. In Jesus' name. and just take a minute or two and just wait upon God. Wait upon His presence. Healing flows forth out of His presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for a continuous infilling. We bless your name, Lord. We welcome Christ the healer. We welcome Christ the baptizer in the Spirit. We welcome the presence of God in this house. Just as our eyes are closed, just want us to respond just to two areas that I feel we need to address, just with what could be a block to the flow of God's presence. First one, doubt, the disease of doubt. Second one, fear. Fear around your area that you need healing. The sentence has been spoken over you. If there's doubt or fear, would you just quickly raise your hands and just pray for you? That's where you start. You confess, Lord, forgive me. I confess it. I confess it in Jesus' name. I bring it before you. Hallelujah. Let's just pray the following prayer. Holy Father, I confess that doubt is a disease. I reject it and renounce it in Jesus' name. I declare, you are the God who created heaven and earth. Everything that is, you've made it. I believe. You are the God of the universe. And I renounce doubt. I renounce the spirit of doubt in Jesus' name. And I command it to be gone. And Lord, I confess that there is no fear in your love. No fear in your love. I expose fear as a lie from the enemy. For I am safe in your hands. I renounce fear and command fear to be gone. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so, God, right now, Lord, we receive an increase in faith for each person here, for their own healing as well. We receive faith, the gift of faith, God. We receive it right now in the name of Jesus, an increase in faith. We look away from doubts. We look away from anything that's negative, anything that says contrary to your word. And we look at the word of God that says, these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. You can take your seats. Now we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to do it in two processes. First, we're just going to ask you to stand where you are. We're going to pray for you just where you're standing. And then afterwards, we're going to call you forward, and then the ministry facilitator will be here to pray with you. So I'm just going to call out a few things that's come to our attention while we were praying. If that's relevant for you, then just stand. You don't have to stand at the exact moment if you don't want people to know. But I saw a picture of red spots across somebody's body, red spots on the skin, especially across the front of the body. And so I felt it was from the right to the left and the front of the body, but it might just be skin disease in general. Okay, so if there's anybody with skin disease, then you can stand. If there's anything like heavy stress and anxiety, like panic attacks, then I want to pray for you. Then any form of disease in the specifically in the sexual organs, genitals, any diseases in that area, could be barrenness, anything like that, I want to pray for you. Insomnia, battling to sleep, I want to pray for you. We felt feet, anybody with an injury on the foot. Then heart disease, I felt a valve in the heart. Cancer, any form of cancer. Any part of your body that might be misformed. And somebody prayed about metal. We'd love to pray for somebody with metal, but we can do that later. Okay, can you please stand? Any of those areas, please stand. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. We'll pray for the rest in a moment. We just want to start here. I felt arm as well. Injury in the arm. Anybody with that? Injury in the arm. Few. Okay, injury in the arm. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. God, you reign. You are Lord. God, you are good. And we welcome you here in Jesus' name. Arthritis. Anybody with arthritis? Anybody else? Just stand. God, we bless you. We welcome your presence here, Lord. God, you are good. You are the Lord, our healer. You are Christ the healer. And we just welcome your presence here right now, Lord. We welcome your presence to touch each and every area that needs to be healed right now. We welcome healing. We welcome healing in the name of Jesus. We welcome your presence, Lord. We welcome your presence in Jesus' name. We welcome your presence, God. Holy Spirit, just touch them right now. Touch them right now. Touch them right now. I'm just feeling eye conditions. Any eye conditions? Just stand as well. I feel especially my right eye. Sorry, Ellen. I feel this something on my right eye. Hallelujah. Also feeling something in my back. Back pain. Back pain, lower back pain. Anybody? Lower back pain. You can also just stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're the God that heals completely. You took all our infirmities onto the cross. You took all our infirmities to the cross. And we welcome Christ the healer here in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, God, we speak to every eye condition and we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be completely healed in the name of Jesus. Where there needs to be a creative miracle, we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Right now, healed. Degenerative eye disease, be healed of it in Jesus' name. Be healed. Complete restoration and function. Rion prayed for a guy in India. He was colorblind, couldn't enter the army. We prayed for him. He saw color. Healed. God, we receive that right now. You're the God that heals eye conditions. In the name of Jesus, we say be healed. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Father, we speak to arthritis. We command arthritis to be gone in the joints, in the body, and we declare be healed. We release life over those bodies right now. We release life. Be healed in Jesus' name. We speak to the arms of people, specifically the right arm. We say be healed in the name of Jesus. The elbow, right arm area, be healed in Jesus' name. All pain, gone. Gone. Lord, we speak to feet and to ankles that are in pain, and we speak restoration and healing right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. We speak to skin disease, and we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Skin disease, be gone. We speak to diseases in the sexual parts of our bodies. We declare sexual transmitted diseases gone in Jesus' name. All shame gone in Jesus' name. Forgiven and healed in Jesus' name. We command barrenness to be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak to insomnia. We say, insomnia, be gone in Jesus' name. Be healed of that battle to sleep in the name of Jesus. Sleep with peace. And we release peace in Jesus' name. So no heart disease. Anybody with heart disease? Anybody else? Because we had a few words around heart disease on Thursday night. I saw a heart. I saw a heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just speak healing right now. In the name of Jesus. God, we speak healing right now. We command this heart to be healed. Whatever it may be, the valves or whatever, God, we speak healing right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, be healed. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence to touch and to heal. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Cancer. Anybody with cancer? God, we thank you that we can speak to the mountain to be removed and it will be cast into the sea. And so, Father, we speak to every cancer in the bodies. If there are tumors, we say, tumor, in the name of Jesus, disappear. Be gone. Right now. Right now. Let the presence of God fill them and heal in Jesus' name. Heal in Jesus' name. Heal in Jesus' name. Be healed. I command cancer to be gone in the name of Jesus. Tumors, be gone right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Can I also just ask that only ministry facilitators to lay hands on people. Only those who have prayed with us and are part of the ministry team. Otherwise, don't lay hands on people. God, we bless you. We lift you up in this place, Lord. We lift you up in this place in the name of Jesus. Okay, we're going to test now. before we're going to pray for them again. But first, I want you to test. I know for some of you, you can't test it. But I want you to quickly, if there's an area like a back pain, move your body. If there's a foot, move it. I know many, or an arm, or whatever. Try and test it in some way. Just move. Try and test it. Try and test it. If you can taste it, taste it. It's just the first phase. I know many of the sicknesses is difficult to taste. Taste it. Give you another minute or 30 seconds or so. You see, part of the tasting is that's your step of faith. Sometimes when people, they didn't feel anything and then they tasted it and then suddenly they experienced they are healed. There are stories of some guys who, for 30 minutes, he couldn't lift his arm above his shoulders, and for 30 minutes he tried to lift it up, and after 30 minutes, suddenly, he was healed. So there's a place where you need to test it until you feel a breakthrough. Okay. Anybody that feels an improvement, 80% or more, could you wave? There's a hand. There are a few hands. There's a hand. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.